Good evening, everybody. My name is John, and I am your host with the most. So be prepared to be scared silly, because this is Boo, My Dad Says. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Freaky Friday edition of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John, and I am here to wish you all a great weekend. If you all haven't tuned in to Wednesday's episode, we were doing Charleston, South Carolina, and that was a two-part episode. And we will be doing part two this coming Wednesday, and you don't want to miss it out, because let me tell you, the best is yet to come. Remember, folks, if you have a story you would like for me to tell online, email me at boomydadsays@outlook.com. We will keep you anonymous. We can give you a pseudonym for your name, or we'll use your real name if you don't mind. But we would love to hear from you guys. I am needing some good personal stories to tell, because honestly, those are my favorite, because they just, you know, they ring true, because these stories matter to you and the world that's happening around you. Before we jump into tonight's story, let's pause for a word from our sponsor. Tonight's story comes straight from Cherokee folklore. We're going to be talking about the Wampus Cat. The account that I'm going to be reading for you came from AppalachianHistory.net by Dave Tabler. And Dave, I really hope I didn't butcher your last name there. I do apologize if I did. I wanted to do the Wampus Cat because it is a story from my neck of the woods up here in the Appalachian Mountains in East Tennessee, and I had heard about the Wampus Cat, but I really didn't know much about it. So let's jump into what I found out. In Missouri, they call it the Galley Wampus. In Arkansas, it's the Whistling Wampus. Here in my home area of Appalachia, it's just the plain old Wampus Cat. It's a half dog, half cat creature that can run erect or on all fours. It's rumored to be seen just after dark or right before dawn, all throughout the Appalachians. But that's about all anybody ever agrees on. And those are some pretty broad terms. So, you know, and that's kind of how legends tend to go, is there's a lot of generalizations. And I'm not saying that I believe one way or another on the Wampus Cat, but it's kind of like Bigfoot. There's a lot of generalization going on, a lot of blurry photos and things like that. Now, moving on. In non-Native American cultures, it's a howling, evil creature with yellow eyes that can supposedly pierce the hearts and souls of those unfortunate enough to cross its path, driving them to the edge of sanity. Folks, we live in COVID. I think the Wampus Cat is probably about the least of our problems when it comes to sanity. I mean, this week, guys, and I'm sorry to jump the story a little bit, but this is one of those weeks that just, I've just really struggled with just the whole world of COVID. You know, I've worked from home 3 days this week, and we went out to eat dinner tonight, and we were going to go to our favorite Italian restaurant, and we pull up, and they were closed because of a COVID exposure. And, you know, I think COVID is just about to drive everybody to the edge of sanity or insanity. You know, and like I said, I'm sorry to jump the story a little bit, but, you know, I just wanted to get real with y'all for a minute. It's just been, this has been a tough week. And, you know, normally I kind of handle the whole COVID thing pretty well, but I haven't slept well this week. And, you know, just a little bit more on edge and more emotional. So, guys, thank you all for listening. Let's jump on over and continue with our story there. I'm sorry I, you know, jumped the ship a little bit. So, Cherokee folklore, which is filled with tales of evil spirits lurking in the deep, dark forests that surround their village, often offers a different view of the Wampus Cat. And after reading that, I think I'm going to try to do some episodes on Cherokee folklore. This sounds like some really good stuff. So, moving on. An evil demon called Ewa, that's spelled E-W apostrophe A-H, and I guarantee you I butchered that, but Ewa, the spirit of madness, had been terrorizing the village of Etowa or Chota, depending on the version that you hear. This is, you know, another thing. There's a lot of generalization in folklore. You get different towns, villages, kind of based on, you know, what's the nearest village to wherever the story's being told. But what we have here is in Etowa, and that is in today's North Carolina, the village shamans, war chiefs called for a meeting. The wise shamans told the war chiefs that sending their braves to hunt and kill the Ewa was surely going to be the end of the tribe, for the Ewa had the terrible power to drive men mad with a glance. You know, and that just kind of makes me think of another little bit of folklore over in like Ireland, you know, like the banshee, you know, the look of a banshee, you know, I think is said to be able to kill a person, or that's the sound. Anyways, that just made me think of the banshee there. The war chiefs argued that the Ewa could no longer feast on the dreams of the Cherokee children and that something must be done. So together they agreed that their strongest brave would go alone. Alone? Huh. Man. Sucks to be him. And bring great honor to his family and tribe by killing the mad demon. I just can't get over, like, why would they send him alone? I mean, you know, the old buddy system, you know, who's going to drag your butt out of the ditch, you know, when you're half bleeding out or something. But anyways, I guess that's the, what they thought was best. And, you know, I guess if you think about it, you know, better to lose one than more than that. So they send Standing Bear, or Great Fellow, depending on the version of the story, and he was the strongest, fastest, sneakiest, smartest, and most respected brave in all the Cherokee Nation. And he was chosen to do battle with this demon. As he walked from his village, the shamans blessed him, and the war chief gave him many fine weapons with which to slay the beast. And on the edge of town, his wife, Running Deer, bid him a final farewell, but she would never see him again in the same way. Weeks went by, and there was no word from Standing Bear. Suddenly, late one night, the stricken brave came running back into camp, screaming and clawing at his eyes. One look and Running Deer knew her husband was no more. With time, he would be able to pick berries and work in the fields with the young girls and the unmarried widows. But he would never be any good as a husband again. And by Cherokee law, that meant he was dead. Standing Bear's name was never again mentioned, but Raining Deer had loved her husband and she wanted revenge. Running Deer then went to the shamans and they gave her a booger mask, a bobcat's face, and they told her that the spirit of the mountain cat could stand against the Iwa, but she must be the one to surprise the demon. So I had to do a little checking into what a booger mask was. And it was a ritual mask that was worn during a Cherokee tribal dance called the Booger Dance. And it's performed at nighttime around a campfire, usually in late fall or winter. Before the dance begins, the male Cherokee performers, known as boogers, discreetly leave the party. Booger masks are colorful masks that represented evil spirits. Booger masks were made from wood or hornet's nests and were originally part of the Booger Dance, a winter celebration that ensured evil spirits could not disrupt the coming growing season. The boogers also represented the malevolent spirits of those who oppose the Cherokee. They act in a stereotypically lewd manner by chasing the females around, grabbing them if possible, to satirize and ridicule what is seen as the non-Cherokee's predatory lust for the Cherokee. The dance and accompanying music are traditionally believed to drive away or offer protection against the inimical spirits, and sorry for butchering that word, and those in whom they dwell, striking fear into their hearts while providing comedic relief for the tribal members. Eventually, these masks came to resemble the faces of the white trespassers. The masks can be fashioned from gourds, animal skins, or buckeye wood. The dance has also been the subject of much scholarship. I have to admit, the booger mask, that is a pretty neat little bit of information that I had never knew. So moving on, Running Deer knew the woods as well as she knew the village. And she ate sweet berries to keep up her strength over the many days, but still she came across no sign of the Iwa. Then late one night, she heard a creature stalking down by the stream. As she crept slowly towards the creek, she heard a twig snap behind her. She spun, and just as suddenly realized how quickly it could have been the end of her. Behind her, a wily fox darted across the pathway. If that had been the Iwa, I would have been mad by now. The widowed Cherokee woman thought to herself as she continued towards the creek. At the edge of the creek, she saw footprints which did not belong there, and her former husband's breastplate lay at the edge of the water. As she followed the prints upstream, she saw the demon. Its hulking form lurched hideously over the water, drinking from the pristine mountain spring. The Iwa hadn't seen her. Running Deer crept ever closer. And just as she felt she could bring herself no closer, she sprang. The Iwa spun and saw the cat spirit mask and began to tear at itself as the spirit of the mountain cat turned its powerful magic back on itself. The Iwa tumbled backwards into the pool, and Running Deer immediately turned on her heel and ran as fast as she could back to the village, never once looking back. When she arrived home, she sang a song to herself, a quiet song, of grief for her husband, but also of joy for the demon's banishment. The shamans and war chiefs declared Running Deer the spirit talker and home protector. Some say the spirit of Running Deer inhabits the Wampus Cat, and that she continues her eternal mission of watching her tribe's lands to protect them and their peoples from the demons that hide in the dark and lost place of Tanisai. Well, folks, so that's the history of the Wampus Cat. And it sounds like the Wampus Cat is actually the spirit of Running Deer, and she is trying to help protect the Cherokee lands from evil spirits. And I've got to say, I really enjoyed finding this story online. It has definitely convinced me to start looking even deeper into Cherokee folklore, because, you know, that is a big part of the area that I live in here in East Tennessee. Well, I hope you liked the story tonight. And as I've said, if you have a personal story that you would like to tell, email me at boomydadsays@outlook.com. If you would like to support this podcast, go to anchor.fm/boomydadsays and hit the support button at the top of the page. I hope you all have a safe weekend. Get out there, enjoy the time that you have with your family, and most of all, God bless, my friends.